I understand from Mike that he and Luann have been with New Beginnings Christian Fellowship Church for 25 years or so. We've known them for, I guess, 9 years since 2017, and they've been a blessing to us, so I can imagine how much it must, how beautiful it must be to know the Wises for 25 years. Mike has been a blessing to the Life Cycles teen ministry, and you have too. You've been very generous, and I'm here to say thank you. I'm also here to tell you a little bit more about it and what God's been doing with it. But the better part after I get done telling you about it is I'd like to show you a video so that you can see what God has created with your help in the lives of over 500 boys and girls over the last 11 years. And more than 80 leaders every year, Christian men and women who think that these teens deserve to be invested in. And many of the teens probably figure that we're there to ride bicycles, but that's just a vehicle. We're there to change lives, and God does that, and it's beautiful to be a part of. I'm going to show you a few slides to show you the scriptural underpinning behind what we do, and then I want to show you what it looks like with a video. Am I having some feedback? Hey, here we go. There we go. So these are some slides that, and some images. A picture can tell a thousand stories. And I'm not going to walk through and show you each of these, but you can see it's real. The kids are real. The joy is real. The life change is real. Let me walk through a few things here to tell you what we've been about. Mike and Luann may already have done that in different ways. I'll go quickly because these are just words, and I want to show you the real life happenings. Since 2015, our mission has been to build young men and women of character in a Christ-centered bicycle touring adventure experience. I want to show you what that looks like today. You've been helping us do that in a very important way. We have a key verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure that's familiar to all of you. And this notion of having a hope and a future with God embracing us and guiding us and protecting us. We know that the teens need this. We know it's encouraging, it's reassuring. But I've learned over the years that we adults need it too. We need to be reminded. And it feels good to know that the truth is that the Lord is there. And he's not silent. And he has a plan for us. And he will walk us through the changes in those plans over our years. A few years ago, with Mike's help, we adopted a set of core values that we believed would be helpful and have become very necessary in helping us to figure out how we should conduct ourselves as adults, how we should conduct ourselves as a teen, with the teens, how we should make decisions, and how we should model for the teens so that they can see what this looks like. And so our five core values, we've talked about a little bit this morning in worship and in the Bible study and the Sunday school: love, honesty, courage, humility, and forgiveness. And we're going to talk about those in a minute here in a little bit more detail. Our motto is do hard things. And the kids love that. Mike Wise loves that. So do all the leaders. And it looks differently. You know, for us, the kids often will figure that means pushing themselves a little bit further, riding a little farther, riding a little harder. But if you think about the core values, doing hard things can mean, as we understand from your teen ministry here, encouraging the kids to study a little harder, to pay attention a little bit more in school, to try to help more with the family. And essentially, you know, they're in a training ground for adulthood. And let's take the opportunity for that. So we want to encourage them in all aspects of their lives to reach a little deeper and to ask God to be there with them. So here's what it looks like And this is just a snapshot of some of our teens and leaders, but I want to show you how these core values are underwritten by Scripture. I'm not going to go in. We could do like we did this morning and open up the Bible and read each one of these. I just want to let you know that with Mike's help, we've got scriptural support for each of these. As we rest on this slide for a minute, I would like you to know that Mike has prepared devotionals for a number of years. And each time when we get together on Tuesday and Thursday nights, which you might be very familiar with, Mike gives a devotional to the boys. 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, always gospel-centered, always focusing on Jesus, often weaving in one of the five core values and trying to help them understand how they can apply that to their lives. And Mike will prepare a booklet when he goes away on one of these week-long summer challenge rides in upstate New York or someplace else, and they're having devotionals after riding a full day and having some recreation, and they're tired and they're sitting around after dinner in the evening. They're getting a Mike Wise devotional on one of these messages here, and it's sinking in because they've got no place else to go. And then they talk about it, and they all the leaders and the boys will sit and break this thing down, and they'll talk about how it applies. And then you know how our minds work. That night, it's floating around there while we sleep. And then the next day, while they're pedaling 60 miles, it's bouncing around in there then too. And they're getting this for 7 or 8 days. And so our goal is to be able to spend time with them between age 12 and 18, hitting these five core values over and over and over again as they work in with the gospel message of a life-saving eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me go back one here. If I don't know Jesus, I can talk about love and people do. I can talk about honesty and people do. They'll say, well, it's pragmatic. We should have pragmatic values. I can talk about courage, and there's courageous people who don't know Jesus. I can talk about humility. That's a little harder without Jesus. I can talk about forgiveness if I don't know Jesus. And I know people who don't know Jesus who forgive or at least let things go, but it's not forgiveness in a Christian sense. What makes this unique? The Lord actually spoke to me a couple years ago about this, and I started, understanding how he'd been wiring this in my own head since about 2000 when I was reading through the book of John. And even though it wasn't the first time I read the book of John, it was the first time that this verse, John 3:30, just floored me. I'd never noticed it the way I did that day. Christ must increase and I must decrease. And I started to understand if it's about me and my accomplishments and my dreams and my visions, he may enable me to do fairly well, and he may enable me to enjoy success and to do so with people around me. But it would be nothing like if I got out of the way and said, Jesus, please take my life. Well, I've already given my life to him. Okay, Jesus, please take this space. Let me shrink and decrease, and would you please increase and fill this space, fill my life, fill my world? That's when, again, 26 years ago, this verse hit me in a completely different way. And now we're working on these core values, and it's finally dawning on me a couple years ago. These core values, they work, they're practical, but they don't mean nearly as much as they do if I put this verse behind and understand that all of these things are selfless. If I'm going to be selfless, then I need to get myself out of the way. And we don't go into this level of detail with the kids, but I want you to know that in my own way, I'm understanding why these are uniquely valuable, scripturally supported, because they work best if I remove myself at least to a great extent and ask Christ to come in, because he can change my heart so that when I don't want to forgive, maybe I can. When I am just a little too proud of the things I've accomplished, he reminds me to be humble. I might need the honesty to do the courageous thing, to speak truth to somebody who's not going to want to hear it, to love other people. How do I get to the point where I understand I need to move myself out of the way and have Jesus come in and take the space? We're almost done. Hang in there with me. You know this verse well. Paul says to the church of Philippi, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. So now, if I say, these five things look great, but how do I do it? First, I've got to get out of the way. If I get out of the way and Jesus is starting to manage all these things, how is that going to happen? Well, it's only going to happen if I fill that space with everybody else's needs. Now I have a servant leadership model. Now I understand responsibility versus power. When we teach our leaders in training, that's our high school juniors and seniors who help us lead, and they do all the setup, they're doing acts of service and nothing else. And we're teaching them a servant leadership model that says, let Jesus take this over. You serve others. Don't worry about what you're going to get done tonight at the ride. You worry about what the other 40 boys or girls are going to get done at the ride tonight. And Jesus will honor that, and he will bless that. So this is the scriptural support that is behind the five core values that just look like any other set of core values, but they're different. They're different because Jesus is behind them. And that's what I wanted you to know, because you take the Bible so seriously. There's a very rich underpinning behind these five core values. That's life cycles. That's what you've created. I'm going to replace my boring voice with a really neat video here, and it's 7 minutes long, and it's going to tell you a great story, and it's going to tell you a story that you've made possible through your generosity and your prayer. And I want to thank you. If there's time after that and Scott says it's appropriate, we can have some questions. If not, we can finish then, and I'll just follow Scott's lead on that. Here you go, Scott. And thank you. In 2009, I had two nephews who had lost a father to cancer. They needed some time with a father figure. We bicycled 1,150 miles in the Rocky Mountains of Montana and Wyoming. It just dawned on me, there are so many folks getting lost in the noise of today's culture that without somebody there, it's easy for them to get derailed, and they deserve a better chance. Felt like the Lord was saying, the conditions are right now, and if not you, who? And if not now, when? And so we stepped out in faith. Our constant prayer was, Lord, hold us in your hand and guide us.
I've been with Life Cycle since day one, actually. Lee and I decided to do a 70-mile ride. We were just completely exhausted and fulfilled, and we both had the similar epiphanies, like we can walk alongside young men and give them the experience that we had of breathing life into each other.
We'd had a guys team for a couple years, and we had enough girls that were interested. And I talked to a couple other people, and they're like, yeah, if we had a girls team, my daughter would join. And as I'm praying through this, I was like, okay, God, I don't want to do this alone. I don't want this to just be me. Almost from day one, had so much support. We're like, okay, we can do this and have a full girls team.
Jesus is the hand that guides everything in Life Cycles, and God's hand has been over this to this very moment.
Life Cycles is uplifting.
This is really fun.
This is amazing.
It's epic.
It's the best.
Life Cycle is amazing!
Well, the mission of Life Cycles is to build young men and women of character in a Christ-centered bicycle touring adventure experience. It's an experience. We want people to have this adventure.
We have 70 to 80 volunteer leaders who come out because they have a passion for the next generation. But even more than that, they love Jesus and they want to share that.
Lord, we have been so blessed by this ministry over the last 10 years. Pray for the protection of the boys and the girls as we ride. In your name, amen.
This is a way for them to do something they like and give back at the same time.
We have four generations of people gathering.
It's some of the harder years of growing up, watching that mentorship happen in their walk with Christ has just been so rewarding.
Young people mixing with older people in a Christ-centered way, that's what our new generation of boys and girls need, is mature ladies and men to be able to grow their character.
Week after week after week, they grow, and we get to come alongside them. I can't wait. I can't wait to get here and work with the ministry.
Before, I was such a shy person, and now they broke me out of my shell, so I've gained a lot of confidence just being in Life Cycle, something I probably never would have thought I had in me.
One of the things I think that drives people to Life Cycles and keeps them there is family. You feel like you belong.
Parents come to us and say, this is the first thing that my son or daughter has found.
There's no competition. They can come and be exactly who they are and be loved where they are for as long as they need to be.
There's a safety that allows these friendships to blossom. That's what helps set Life Cycles apart.
We love Life Cycles!
We've got a motto that's a lot of fun, do hard things. They want to challenge themselves. They know they can do more, and they love to find out what they are capable of.
Before Life Cycles, I didn't do any activities that actually pushed me to my absolute limits. After I started doing Life Cycles, I had friends and leaders to help push me to do more miles and just finish the day. And it felt so rewarding to just have that accomplishment under my belt.
When you sweat together, when you work really hard, it bonds you in a way that you wouldn't normally be bonded. And when you can bring Christ into that, it just creates this amazing family.
Ever since growing up, my dad's always been sick. Without Life Cycles, I wouldn't have friends, family, and something to look forward to. It's been so beneficial to me in walking with Christ, and I love to see that happen to others.
Go Silas! Get you!
Hi, Cork.
There's a building block approach that culminates with a summer challenge ride. They may ride to Niagara Falls, the Adirondack Mountains, Maine. Now you come home from this, and there's been a deeper spirituality, a deeper connection, and this relationship lasts for the rest of their life. Those teens and those leaders are tight.
Honestly, from the beginning, I was like, a mountain? I don't think I can do that. And one of the leaders that was on the ride chair was like, you got this, keep going, don't give up. This is just amazing, something I never would have thought that I would be doing. And just to be like, wow, I just accomplished something great. Just really glad that I've been able to be part of this and having Jesus with me, just guiding me with each step of life.
When I'm on a bike, I feel awesome, and I can just push myself harder, and you can just see this amazing sunset. I just feel like singing a worship song or something and just praising him, because it's a powerful moment.
We have the opportunity to show them that they don't have to be defined by their circumstances, knowing that they are loved and valued and that they can do hard things.
What we've seen now for 10 years is watching teens mature. And by the time they are leaving Life Cycles, many of them are asking Jesus into their life. They are getting baptized. They're on mission trips. They're going off to trade school, college. They're getting married. We have this beautiful opportunity to have a front row seat of watching somebody flourish into adulthood.
We just stand amazed at what God has done for us. Jesus is changing lives one ride at a time.
I just have this confidence that if the Lord says go, he's going to make it happen if we'll just stay faithful.
I can't even begin to imagine what will happen in the next 5 or 10 years, but I know that God is faithful and that he has a plan.